WTH.
What the hell?
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 This is the WTH.
The WTH podcast.
Hold on to your butts.
Jason Casey.
Kareem Daniels.
And Nate Darling.
This is the WTH podcast.
A smelly pirate hooker.
Thought that was a good way to start things off. Jason is under the weather. Again.
So what happens when you have the little germy bastards?
He doesn't have the strongest immune system to begin with.
That's true.
And what he was describing, we don't want.
No, we don't.
It's funny, though. He didn't mention it until there was an exchange about, hey, you were like, hey, I don't know if I can make it tonight. And I was like, all right, well, what about you, Jason? He's like, been puking since yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
So I tried to let you know as early in the day as possible.
It's all good. It's all good. So coming up on the show today, we've got some news from both North and South Carolina. We get to meet Mayor Pete.
Yay.
And something I call this week in wannabe dictators. Get to all of that stuff. Ha. Before we get going any further, Kareem, I know I don't have to ask. You've had a crazy week. How was your Father's Day?
I'm going to focus on the good things that happened to me last week.
Right on.
Thursday, I went to Gather.
Thursday, we recorded shows. So we had a weird recording week. So we recorded on Thursday. So yeah. I saw you Thursday.
Yeah. So I went to Gather before that. And there was a gentleman who was shooting some video. And I was trying not to get in his shot.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to get around him. So he was like, oh, you're okay. And I was like, you know, I do a little bit. So I try to not get in people's way. So it was like, yeah, I was like, you know, if you get a chance, go across the street and check out the exhibit. And he had this look on his face like, that was yours?
Oh, so he'd seen it.
Yeah. And he looked like he was going to, he teared up a little bit. And so, he was talking to me about it. So that made me feel really, 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 really good. And then another person that I know that I deal with in work, him and his wife went by to see it Saturday. And he sent me a text message afterwards. And then she posted about it yesterday. So another thing that made me feel great about it. And then some people in the show sent me text messages yesterday. And then there was something else that happened. Somebody else said, oh, Tony finally saw it. Tony Harvey from the Observer, who was the person who told me to stop playing them, get a camera.
Right.
So he finally came to see it and I got to give him a private tour. And he was really impressed with it. And as somebody, and you know, him being somebody who's taken pictures for 20 years, that meant a lot. So those were the highlights of the week.
There you go. And of course, because the world is a crazy, cruel place, you had the other side too, that we won't get into. Just let it be known that Kareem's week wasn't all just good feelings and skipping through the streets.
Man, It's been the weirdest six. I actually really committed to the project and then crazy shit started happening. That wasn't me,
mm-hmm.
but just other things.
Yeah. That stuff happens that way.
Yeah. And especially when we hit the beginning of the year and I was really into it and trying to set trips up and things to really get it done. And yeah,
it's a huge project. It's a huge undertaking.
Yeah. So it was like, I don't need any extra stress. And then you have other people who you don't mind taking care of or helping with their issue with the stuff that they have going on. But then they don't make it easy for you to do that.
Right.
So.
Well, the exhibit goes through the 20th?
29th. So the 20th. We're showing. I spent part of Saturday doing some editing. We were going to show three interviews, but one of them is pretty long.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't want to do that with the panel discussion because I wanted to give the people on the panel some time, more time to talk.
Right.
So we just ended up going with the original 12 and adding like three interviews into that, editing three interviews into that, full interviews. And so
right.
Shorter interviews.
So the 20th is the panel discussion.
Panel discussion, and we'll show, I think it's about 30 minutes now. A 30-minute short.
And as the show drops on Wednesday, this is tomorrow.
Tomorrow at the Brick House at 7 o'clock.
So if you're in SAC, come by and check that out.
It's at 36th and Broadway. I'll have Terry Moore from Fathers and Families. And then a bunch of other people, about four of the guys. So yeah. And then I'm meeting one of my experts tomorrow to do a pre-interview for when I interview him.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice.
Cool. So that's all going on. My Father's Day. It's weird. It was my quote unquote first Father's Day.
Yeah, that's right. Happy Father's Day, man.
Thanks. Because we've got the little foster with us, and, so my dad is in Vermont, and I called him up and I asked him, I said, what do you want for Father's Day? And he said, I don't know. He goes, you're not working right now. So of course we got the business, which is going to be starting up here soon. He goes, you know, I saw something on TV that I wanted, you know, as seen on TV. And I said, yeah. Well, I got you something as seen on TV for Christmas, and that's why it came in February. Because for some reason, if it's on TV, it takes 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Because if you see it on TV, it's like going back in time to the 80s where something would take 6 weeks to get to you after you ordered it. And you were like, yeah, it's all right. 6 weeks seems reasonable. And so he told me, he goes, oh, you know, it'd be one of those contour pillows you put between your knees. So I headed over to the Shop Amazon tab at the top of WTHpod.com. And I got him a knockoff version of the contour leg pillow because they don't have that specific thing on Amazon, but had it sent, gift wrapped with a little Happy Father's Day card. It arrived in plenty of time, and he was able to put it to use long before Father's Day, and it's just that easy. So
yeah, and I actually shopped using the Amazon tab Saturday.
Perfect. Yeah, everybody should do that. Help support the show. It doesn't cost you anything extra, and it's greatly appreciated. So Father's Day here, Leslie's dad, he lives on the same property that we do. Not in the same house, but on the same property. I'm going to make it sound like a sprawling, expansive mansion situation. And so we went out Saturday morning. We said, let's go out Saturday morning for brunch. And we went to South. And we were first in line at South.
Wow.
On on Saturday morning for brunch. And brunch was just okay.
Yeah.
It was everything was slightly overcooked, which was okay. It was fine. Yeah. It was fine. but then on Sunday, he had been saying he wanted to go to Cracker Barrel. And in fact, at one point he had gone to Cracker Barrel, didn't go in to eat. He just wandered around the country store.
Okay.
If you've never been to a Cracker Barrel, you walk in and it's this weird, quote unquote, country store. So he looked around there and he left. So he said, you know what? It's Father's Day. Do you want to go to Cracker Barrel? So we went, we got up early and we were at Cracker Barrel before 8 a.m. They open at 6, by the way, if you're curious.
Yeah.
And it was my wife, myself, the little baby and, my father-in-law. And so we got to experience Cracker Barrel as a family.
How was that?
It was fine. You know what? He was like, well, you know, if I'd known it was this, I go, look, Cracker Barrel is fine, but you can't compare it to someplace like The Porch, which is a restaurant in Midtown Sac.
Yeah.
The Porch is a higher end dining experience. Cracker Barrel is the Southern country version of Applebee's or Chili's.
Yeah.
It's fine, but it's not going to knock your socks off.
Yeah.
There's nothing about it that will knock your socks off.
I still have to go to the porch.
You've never been to the porch?
No.
Oh, do you like grits?
Yes.
They have Gouda grits.
Okay.
And I don't like grits and they're really good. So, yeah. Anywho, that was Father's Day. I got a couple of lovely cards for Father's Day, which made me well up a little bit. It's just like I'm still adjusting to the idea because when you're fostering, it's not the same. It's different. It's the same, but it's not. But it is. It's weird.
Yeah. Once you get past the uncertainty part, then
and who knows how long that's going to take, but that's kind of where we are. But yeah, that was Father's Day, and it was pretty good. But on Father's Day, what would a grown man with an important job and four adult children and a minor child do to celebrate his Father's Day? Well, President Donald Trump suggested supporters might not want him to leave office after two terms.
After two terms?
Yeah. He's saying they're not going to let him go. Supporters are going to demand that he stay on.
Oh, wow. We're already worried about him not leaving after he loses the 2020 election.
Yeah. He's talking about not leaving after that. He tweeted, "The good news is at the end of 6 years after America has been made great again, and I leave the beautiful White House," open parentheses, "do you think people would demand that I stay longer? Keep America great!" The president has also been criticizing the Washington Post, the New York Times, calling them both a disgrace. Now, he's talked about the issue before last March. He, according to a recording obtained by CNN, he told a closed-door fundraiser at Mar-a-Lago that, quote, "maybe we'll have to give that a shot someday," in reference to Chinese President Xi's abolishment of term limits. It was unclear if the comments were made in jest.
Oh, that person that tells jokes hoping that people not laugh, but want to do what he says.
Oh yeah, they'll go, "oh hey, that's a great idea." By the way, the 22nd amendment to the Constitution explicitly states no person shall be elected to the office of president more than twice. The only American president to serve more than two terms, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who died during his fourth term in office, so we had that after him. Some progressive commentators have speculated about the possibility of Trump not leaving office if he loses the election narrowly. Last week, Bill Maher said on CNN that if Trump loses, he won't go, to which conservative commentator Jonah Goldberg responded, "refusing to leave would make him the crazy guy the Marines escort out of the building."
I hope so.
I mean, I don't know what the Marines are waiting for.
He's already that guy.
Yeah. I thought the cult was appropriate for this story. So we're talking about Trump supporters. Although I haven't really heard a lot of Trump supporters go, "oh yeah, yeah, we need to keep him on for," I mean, he did float the idea too, that because the Mueller investigation took 2 years, he should get that time tacked on.
Yeah.
It's like, get the hell out of here.
Yeah. And one more crazy thing about crazy, people tweeting on, Father's Day.
Yes.
Bill Cosby is in prison. I don't know if you...
I'm aware of what happened. He told his people he wanted a Father's Day tweet. So he didn't actually tweet it. It was his people.
Okay. Just so we're clear, Bill Cosby is in prison. He's not tweeting anybody.
It's true, but his official Twitter account sure as fuck is.
Yeah.
Maybe someone in his camp should go, "you know what, Bill? Maybe you should just relax. Yeah. Maybe we don't do that." You know who else should, we'll talk about this. Where will we talk about this? I think
this is another show.
On Friday, there's someone else who's new to Twitter. Yeah. We'll talk about if it's a good idea to be following that guy. All right. So let's get rid of that. Love that song. She sells Sanctuary by the Cult. So Chris Wallace, he hosts Fox News Sunday, and he's kind of the lone wolf howling in the wind over at Fox News. Shep Smith a little bit, but Shep's just doing mostly news and not dealing with the commentary and the interviews and that. Well, Chris Wallace had Secretary of State Mike Pompeo on his show on Sunday. And here's how that went.
To invite opposition research on his political rivals in the 2020 campaign from foreign governments. Here's what he had to say.
Somebody comes up and says, hey, I have information on your opponent. Do you call the FBI?
I don't think coming from
I'll
Russia,
tell you what,
you do.
I've seen a lot of things over my life. I don't think in my whole life I've ever called the FBI. In my whole life. You don't call the FBI. Life doesn't work
there. The FBI director says that's what should happen.
The FBI director is wrong.
Is accepting Oppo research from a foreign government right or wrong?
Chris, you know, you asked me not to call any of your questions today. Ridiculous. You came really close right there. President Trump has been very clear. He clarified his remarks later. He made it very clear.
Answer the question, bitch.
I think he made the question pretty clear.
Yeah, and this is Mike Pompeo not answering the question.
Even in his first comments, he said, I'd do both. He said he'd call the FBI.
He said maybe I'd do both.
President Trump has been very clear that he will always make sure that he gets it right for the American people, and I'm confident he'll do that here as well.
Well, at the risk of getting your ire, the president told Fox and Friends on Friday, and I agree, he kind of walked it back.
No, he didn't walk it back, Chris.
Yes, he did. He said maybe on Thursday, and then on Friday on Fox and Friends, he said he'd listen first, and then if the information was bad, that he would take it to the FBI or the Attorney General. But he also made it clear to George Stephanopoulos that he did not see this as foreign interference. I want to play a clip of the president's own words.
I think you might want to listen. There's nothing wrong with listening. If somebody called from a country, Norway, we have information on
Norway.
I think I'd want to hear it.
You want that kind of interference in our elections?
It's not an interference. They have information. I think I'd take it.
He says it's not interference, it's information. The country, sir, and I don't have to tell you, has a long history dating back from to George Washington in saying that foreign interference in our elections is unacceptable.
Chris, President Trump believes that, too. I have nothing further to add. I came on to talk about foreign policy, and I think the third time you've asked me about a Washington piece of silliness that chased down a story that is inconsistent with what I've seen President Trump do every single day.
I will leave it there. I think I only asked you twice, but that's all.
So
a Washington piece of silliness?
Yeah, that's what he called it.
Washington didn't create that. The media didn't create that. He said those words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that is a part of foreign policy.
It's absolutely a part of foreign policy. Do you make it part of your policy to go, oh yeah, we'll take whatever a foreign government wants to give to us?
Yeah, that's foreign policy.
Norway. Whatever Norway wants. What if Norway came to us with something? All right. Meanwhile, over on NBC, and this goes to a question that that you're going to answer at the end of this. Chuck Todd had Mayor Pete on. Mayor Pete Buttigieg. And he had some questions for him.
And if there is one whisper that Democrats have about your candidacy, many are excited, but you hear the whisper, but, oh, I don't know, can he get African-American support? I want to read you a quote from the Reverend Roderick Reed that the Indianapolis Star interviewed. He's a pastor at the Uplift Church in Indianapolis. Here's what he said. I guarantee it's going to be an obstacle. This is about the fact that you're married to another man. I guarantee it's going to be an obstacle for the candidate from South Bend. That is really still a touchy subject, specifically and especially in the African-American church. Now, I think it could be overcome because we are gradually getting to a point of, and I don't want to say accept, but we are getting to a point of realizing this is the culture that we are going to have to begin to live with and adapt to it. I know you're trying to have these conversations with a lot of African-Americans. How are they going?
They're going well, and we are working very hard to engage people across the party, but especially black voters who expect you to demonstrate, especially when you're new on the scene, what your values are and how you're going to promote policies that lift them up. I also think we have a moment on our hands when we can do the exact opposite of what the president has done. The president has used identity as a wedge, used race as a wedge to divide people who have common interests. I think we have an opportunity to reach into our own distinctive identities and use them to build bridges, to reach out to people different from us, knowing that anybody who has been on the short end of an equation of exclusion has a way to sympathize with people who've had different experiences with exclusion in this country. And if we build a solidarity around that, then people who have, for whatever reason, felt a lack of belonging or felt exclusion or felt discrimination in this country, even though those patterns of discrimination are very, very different, when all of us come together, we win and we are all better off.
But I do want to follow up. I've talked to African-American congressmen who really like you and want to support you, where they're some of their more conservative, religious-minded constituents who vote straight-ticket Democrat most of the time would have trouble voting for you. What do you say to those politicians in Washington who want to get behind your candidacy but are nervous about this?
I'd invite them to look at what happened in South Bend. I'm from a socially conservative community. When I came out, we didn't know what the effects would be. It was actually during an election year. Mike Pence was the governor of our state. He was popular at the time. And what happened was I won with 80% of the vote. Now, what that tells you, I think, is that people, if you give them a chance, will evaluate you based on what you aim to do, what the results are, what the policies are. And I have every confidence that American voters, especially Democratic voters, will not discriminate when the opportunity comes up to choose the right leader for the future.
Pete Buttigieg, I really appreciate you coming on, sharing your views with us.
So Chuck Todd essentially was asking over and over again, hey, how do you get black people to forget that you're gay?
So here's the deal.
And we've talked about Mayor Pete and African American voters before.
Yeah. So he's gonna with some church people, he's gonna have the gay issue. But that's really not his issue.
Right.
His issue is he doesn't have a history with African American people. And as a matter of fact, if I'm remembering correctly, he was one of those people who were talking about identity politics and how we needed to get away from identity politics before. Mm-hmm. So the fact that he used the word identity politics and that we needed to get away from identity politics as the Democratic Party told me that you were just a white guy from Indiana, which is not necessarily a good thing to be.
So it's not that African Americans are too homophobic to vote for?
Actually, no, I think he can get away. I think as and I hate to quote Reverend Sharpton, but the he doesn't, like, you forget that he's gay.
Yeah.
So
he's smart. He's well spoken. He makes convincing arguments about stuff. He engages people.
Right. So I don't think that that's going to be as big a deal as some people making it out to be. His issue with African Americans is that he's going to have to speak to African Americans, and he's going to have to come up with policy. Mm-hmm.
I think everybody's going to have to come up with policy, because aside from Elizabeth Warren, there haven't been. I mean, Bernie Sanders has his long list.
So Bernie Sanders made this mistake the last time, which is why I didn't fuck with him, because he marched during the march. He did the march on Washington, but he hasn't done anything else for black people since then.
Well, to be fair, he is a senator from Vermont, and there aren't that many black people there.
Understood.
It's an incredibly small constituency that, as a senator from Vermont, you're not really going to be hanging your hat on that.
Right. But he did make those statements too about identity politics too.
Sure.
So that put me out on Bernie. Like, oh, you're another fucking white dude from Vermont.
Well, he's from Brooklyn, but sure.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? But he's not, you know. So Pete has to speak to black, he has to speak to black issues or frame whatever issues that he's going to speak on to the point where black people are like, oh, okay. Because black people will vote for you if, one, if they know you can win, but you're still going to have to, like, going on Jesus and Mero, or whatever the fuck they are, whoever the fuck they are, that didn't do anything for me.
Yeah.
You know, that going to talk to Reverend Al doesn't do shit for me. Like, you have to, you know, stopping at a black church on a Sunday or, you know, you have to engage black people. And the fact that he was the mayor of Indianapolis, or he was mayor
South Bend,
and the black people in South Bend supported him, but don't support him like that, tells me that you haven't made those kind of, like, there aren't black people from South Bend who are vouching for her.
No, basically they're saying, well, of the choices, he was the better of the two choices.
Right. So if you're the mayor of South Bend and you're not having black people who are vouching for you from South Bend, that tells me that you didn't give a shit about.
And I don't know what and again, this is no excuse, but I don't know what the racial breakup of South Bend, Indiana is. Yeah. You know, is the African American community 15%, 20%, or is it 1%?
Yeah.
And you know, it shouldn't really matter, but it does, because if it's a really small part of your constituency, you're not going to spend the time and the resources to court them. So if you're in Vermont, you're not catering to black people. You're not catering to Jewish people, because there just aren't that many.
Right. But if, like I said, that there's nobody from no black people from South Bend who are vouching for him. You know, Donald Trump at least finds a black person at every event.
Yep. He has the one.
Yeah. Pete hasn't had anybody.
It's still really early, and we'll see what happens when the debates.
Not even from his past,
right,
to vouch for him. That's the thing.
Yeah, and he was in the military, so it's not like he hasn't been around.
Yeah, so you don't have anybody to vouch for you. So that makes me look at you kind of sideways.
Mm-hmm. South Bend, Indiana is 26.4% black or African American.
Yeah. So Pete should have somebody that can vouch for you.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
From Indiana.
There really should be something going on there. So we'll see how it goes. The debates start next week with the Democrats, two nights, so 10 candidates each, and ooh, that'll be exciting.
Yeah. Right now, Elizabeth Warren is my pick.
Well, she's put out the most policy information so far, but we'll see.
Florida, land of enchantment and crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
Headline: creepy fetishist nabbed for pool float theft. Spree.
What?
Mm-hmm. A creepy fetishist is behind bars in connection with a months-long robbery spree that netted dozens of pool floats that the suspect said he sexually gratifies himself with.
What?
Christopher Monin, that's his name, a 35-year-old ex-con, reportedly told cops he opted for pool floats, and you know, this is a better choice, instead of raping women.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'd rather have you fucking a pool float than raping women, yes.
That is true.
He served time for burglary. He was arrested around 1:30 a.m. last week after being stopped as a suspicious person by the police department. He was riding his bicycle and carrying a white garbage bag full of what was identified as deflated pool floats.
I wouldn't want to touch those.
Right? Now, Palm Bay, where he lives, has been plagued with burglaries in which the suspect cuts the screen or otherwise enters the victim's back pool area and steals only pool floats. Well, I think they've got their man.
I think so, too.
During questioning, he reportedly confessed to burglarizing several residences and swiping many floats. He added that he stored the stolen goods inside a vacant house across the street from his residence. Ew. he accompanied police to the home where they found an estimated 75 pool floats, including a lounge chair with cup holders, a float shaped like a piece of bacon, a duck float, and a watermelon float. Monin also allegedly swiped a Shaquille O'Neal branded Shaq inflatable lounger. Oh no, please tell me you didn't fuck Shaq.
That's what I was just thinking.
Oh, someone has to tell Shaq about this. I need to see his reaction. Monin, whose home does not have a pool, reportedly stated that he sexually gratifies himself with pool floats instead of raping women. He's being held in the Brevard County Jail on 5 felony burglary charges and 5 misdemeanor theft counts. Bond set at $78,500. His rap sheet? Oh, multiple prior convictions for burglary, theft, and violating probation. I mean, again, if those are your two choices, how about the pool floats all day long, my friend?
Exactly.
Also in Florida, YouTube gets you in trouble. Teen arrested for making YouTube tutorial on how to cover up home cameras.
Oh, God.
He's from Land O'Lakes, Florida, and he was arrested. He's facing charges of trespassing and loitering. And if you see his picture, he looks like someone who would trespass and loiter. They arrested a teenager who was making a YouTube video to show people how they can cover up home security cameras. His name is Joshua Hendon. He's 18 and he was arrested last week and faces charges of trespassing and loitering. He visited single family homes to record the tutorial videos. When a deputy approached him, he jumped over a fence onto private property. He also has an outstanding warrant for trespassing. So,
of course he does.
We all love the YouTube how-to videos, don't we?
Yeah.
Dumbass. And that is Florida Corner. So the the first story, I had already had that, but I want to thank Kevin Fontana for sending that pool float story along to us as well. He sent that to me this afternoon. I had already seen it, but good on you, Kevin. Thank you for sending that. If you want to send us stuff, you can reach out through Facebook. We've got an Instagram account, which is a great way to reach us. And the other way that you can, and please do this, you can call us anytime and leave a message. It can be a grievance. It can be a news tip. It can be anything like that. It's 916-281-9390. And leave your message for us. And if it's great, we'll play it on the show. So that's Florida Corner, and that's that. All right. So this next story I found very interesting. It comes to us from South Carolina.
Uh-oh.
I've saved the North Carolina one for next. A South Carolina woman who police say was driving drunk will not be cited with a DUI. Why? Well, because her vehicle of choice was a toy truck. News outlets quote police as saying that instead they charged the 25-year-old Megan Holman with public intoxication. They spotted her cruising down the road in a Power Wheels electric toy truck after a caller reported a suspicious person on the street. Officers say she was driving about a mile from her home when they stopped her. So that's it. Apparently, if you're a 25-year-old woman who can fit in a child's toy truck, you're not getting a DUI. you're getting a public drunkenness.
I saw the video of that. It was pretty funny.
Now, meanwhile, Kareem, North Carolina. Oh, they don't let us down. The headline reads: Mobile Home Park Beef Led to Roadway Brawl.
Because
of course it did. The woman recorded brawling last week in the middle of a North Carolina intersection, exchanged blows over allegations of jewelry theft at a mobile home park. The June 4th fracas has resulted in the arrest of one woman on 2 misdemeanor assault counts. Now, additional charges are expected to be filed against the other combatants seen in the viral video. According to investigators, the women initially argued outside neighboring residences at the Pine Lake Mobile Home Park after one faction claimed that a ring had been stolen from their home, and they suspected the thief lived next door. When one group of women got in the car and drove away, the neighbors followed in their ride. The cars, 2 women in one vehicle, 3 in the other, then stopped at an intersection where 4 women got out of the cars around 3:35 and began exchanging blows. The motorist who recorded a portion of the fight exclaimed, "What type of shit is this?"
Have you seen the video?
I've not.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Between giggles, the female narrator wondered whether one woman was getting pummeled was pregnant and announced, oh, grandma getting out of the car. When the elderly woman, who was brawler number five, left the blue sedan to twice strike an opponent who was on the ground. Among the 29-second videos, many highlights is an ankle tackle so perfectly executed that the clip should be shown at Pop Warner clinics. Now, the person already popped is Amanda Rose Gomez, 28, who was arrested on a warrant accusing her of two counts of simple assault. In the video, Gomez, who was initially seen wearing a mint-colored baseball cap, throws multiple right hands at the woman who prompted the narrator's pregnancy query.
I wondered about that, too. I was like, is that a pregnant woman fighting?
Yeah.
Like somebody's really trying to go to jail.
Yeah, it's something. Let me, let's take a listen, shall we?
No. Is she pregnant?
Oh my gosh.
Oh, grandma getting out the car?
Y'all, this is some shit.
And the Twitter post says only in Mebane, North Carolina. So
and grandma just threw two licks in there.
Sure. Sure. She absolutely did. So anywho, let's get out of the Carolinas and let's wrap this puppy up.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
This coming to us from Vermont, where a motorist named Kevin Bacon was on his phone using an internet search engine to search for a specific episode of the 90s television sitcom Saved by the Bell. That's bad enough. But while he was doing that, he sideswiped a Vermont police car that had stopped to help the driver of a disabled vehicle. According to the Vermont State Police, the 55-year-old Bacon was driving a 2016 Chevy Spark when he struck a Thetford Police Department cruiser around 3:45 p.m. on Interstate 91. The driver of the squad car was aiding a motorist in the breakdown lane who had called for assistance due to the dangers of passing traffic. Well, that was the right thing to do. Now, after striking the police car, Bacon continued to drive for a short distance, then stopped his vehicle before fleeing the scene of the crash. He was apprehended about a mile later. A subsequent state police investigation found that Bacon was looking down at his cell phone at the time of the crash, as well as several minutes beforehand, and never saw the disabled vehicle or the marked police cruiser. Patrolmen and stranded motorists were not injured when the cop car was sideswiped. Now, investigators determined Bacon was using his phone to surf the internet for a specific episode of Saved by the Bell while he was driving. The episode in question, in case you're wondering, is called Screech's Spaghetti Sauce, which aired during the show's fifth season. State police officials did not indicate why that episode was of such interest. Now, according to an IMDb description of the episode, the gang produced a television show for communications class with the sauce Screech makes during the cookery segment proving to be a hit. They decide to market it, and Screech gains a girlfriend, but he refuses to believe she's using him. Death to Slater, which bills itself as New York City's premier Saved by the Bell hardcore punk band, offers a distinctive synopsis of the episode and also has a video. Back to Bacon. He was arrested for gross negligent operation of a vehicle and leaving the scene of a crash. Also issued a traffic citation for texting while driving. If you're wondering, he lives in Wells River, about 30 miles from the crash site, and he's due in court July 31st. So there you go.
Vermont.
Yep. By the way, if you're curious about Interstate 91, it's one of two interstates in the state.
How long are they? Like 5 minutes?
Oh, no. Interstate 91 goes from the Canadian border to Massachusetts. It's the entire length of the state. It's long. All right. Since we mentioned Screech's Spaghetti Sauce, here's the punk band's version of what happened in the episode.
Spaghetti sauce, why am I talking to you? Getting got it from the grandma, watching, talking from the purple, they get spaghetti.
By the way, the band is Death to Slater, and you can buy this digital track and name your price at their Bandcamp site. Oh, here's the rest of the song.
That was freaking crazy.
All right. And that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the WTH podcast. Jason, hope you're feeling better. I hope you've stopped yakking. Kareem, thanks for making it a good time as always.
Thanks for having me.
Yes.
Don't forget to shop the Target tab as well as the Amazon tab. Mm-hmm.
And don't forget the event that Kareem is holding tomorrow night at the Brickhouse Art Gallery.
It is the panel discussion on Black fatherhood. We'll be showing part of the short for the documentary, and then we'll be talking about fatherhood.
You know, Mayor Pete Buttigieg should stop by.
He should.
He could bridge some gaps.
Yes, he could.
Go ahead and do that. All right, that'll do it for us. Back on Friday with another fresh new episode of the WTH podcast. We'll see you then.